Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Mandina.
Greetings, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Are you well?
I'm okay and fine. How are you?
I am fantastic. Great to have you on the show once again. And I hope your day has been good.
Yeah, so far so good. It's a bit chilly and cold.
Oh, okay.
We are surviving.
Yeah, well, let's try and survive. Let's try and survive. Yeah, let's try and survive. Now, we're continuing on that conversation we started yesterday, and we read from 1 Corinthians 15:33, which tell us that bad company ruins good morals, or in some versions it says corrupts good character. Now, when Jesus was often found in the company of corrupt, suspicious mm-hmm. characters, the tax collectors, I mean, we know how notorious they were, women of ill repute, by the way, who he was found among, and of course, people would probably never be voted in as elders in most of our churches today. In fact, I think the Sanhedrin itself was quite unhappy with this. Now, what bearing did that have on his character and morals? Because we are saying good character, bad character corrupts good character. So what happens then in that situation?
Good afternoon, our listeners this afternoon. You know, this is one of the things that we ought to emulate: Christ's character and Christ-like behavior.
Mm.
Always how Christ mingled with men, how he gave himself in a humble way and humble manner.
Mm.
And to the extent that you would find him in company with those people who had questionable behaviors and characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would ask yourself what would happen to him. But the Bible is very clear that his relationship with those people brought transformational lives in them, and there was change of behavior. I can just give you a few examples from the Bible. If you read John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11, where Jesus was in contact with that woman who was caught in adultery.
Mm.
After those men wanted to put some stone on him, what Jesus only said after they disappeared, he said to him, woman, go and sin no more. He showed compassion and forgiveness to that lady. And as you mentioned, Zacchaeus himself, the tax collector, he went to eat to his house and he ate.
Hmm.
And so many were disgruntled and complained, how can Jesus sit on the table with sinners? Why he had to do that? It was Jesus was showing acceptance and kindness towards them, which would lead and which also led to Zacchaeus' repentance.
Mm.
You can see that his contact with him was a way for Zacchaeus to correct his wrongdoing. And as you read the Bible, you'd see that he also called Matthew the tax collector. Can you imagine one who was not appreciated by many, who was called a thief or a cheater, one who was overtaxing people? But he said to Matthew, come follow me. He showed the belief in that there is transformation of behavior and also redemption to Matthew. And Matthew is considered to be one of Christ's disciples. And if you go to Simon's house, that lady who gave everything what she had, Jesus was not judgmental, unlike what Simeon was.
Mm.
But he showed sincerity, love, and compassion. And there was repentance to that woman. And Samaritan woman, that conversation which Jesus had with that woman, a questionable character, for those few minutes, Jesus led that woman to become a preacher of righteousness, because she just went and said, come see a man who has told me about my life. And the woman was never castigated, but she was accepted. And my hope and prayer is that after that, that lady was also saved through the message of hope. So basically, this is Christ's behavior. Why? And you'd see that he was involved in those people with questionable characters.
Yeah, I see. And he was never changed, eh? He never was corrupted by these characters, eh?
No, he was never changed. He was never changed. In fact, he changed them.
But then we should be able to do that as well. Yet you advised yesterday that no, we better not be mingling.
Let me repeat myself. We ought not to put ourselves in circumstances which may harm our characters. We are in an environment, in a toxic environment where we are right now. But as we are in, we should not be changed, but we should change the environment where we are in. I cannot simply say I should go to a bar or a place where people are taking drugs. If I am a young man or a young woman, to say, let me just go to a party and see how they are behaving. But whilst I'm out of their places, when I meet those people, I should also show compassion. Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now, is it possible for me to be the bad company and not know it? I mean, how can one recognize their own toxicity? I mean, we say that bad company is bad, and I don't know if one can realize that. Well, looks like I'm the bad company.
There might be some one may you can realize it if you see some traits and behaviors from your colleagues or your other people who might have been close to you, or those whom you would assume that they are good, whilst their behaviors are not okay. You can see those things, and also our conscience. God also speaks through the power of the Holy Spirit to us to say, no, this is not the rightful way. These are not good friends. So as you make friends, as you make colleagues, as you interact with those people, God can also help you to see there are certain situations whereby a person can be manipulative in your behavior. One wants to manipulate you to do wrong things, to do A, B, C, D when you are not for that idea. You can easily see that this is not good. When one is constantly negative, habitually focusing on criticism and pessimism, whereby one always speaks evil or likes things which are wrong, you can easily see that this person or this company of people is not where I should belong to. And when you see that your colleagues are dishonest, they are engaging themselves in dishonesty trades, you can easily see such that you are in a bad company. So basically, these are some of the things that I think can be of help to you, that you can easily see that you are in a toxicity environment.
But what if you are the one who is a toxic person?
There are things that you ought to see and help yourself. There is what we call making a change yourself. You need to be positive, self-reflection. You need to reflect yourself to see, acknowledge and take responsibility of your behavior. Sometimes you may do such thing unknowingly or knowingly, but one has to have self-reflection. That's one of the things, self-actualization, to look upon yourself, to say, okay, let me just sit down and take a breath look and reflect. And also there is need of self-reflection, self-feedback. you may ask some friends, some colleagues, your relatives, your parents, how are they behavior? They give you honest opinion. Sometimes one may need also professional counseling if it is needed, therapy from other people who can be professional to help you your behavior. And one has to also practice empathy, whereby you need to evaluate other people's experience and emotions, how they reacted to such things, so that at least it can be of help. And it's also good to apologize, to reflect and say, I faulted decisions, and I've injured somebody. So you need to apologize and make amendments. It doesn't bring any harm, but it helps you to grow, to be a better person from one step to another step, to ratify your damage that you might have caused. So basically, these are some of the things that I think can be of help.
Good. Great stuff. Now, if I want to change for the better, as we've discussed, but now, you know, I'm surrounded by negativity. People say, no, you forget it, shame. Well, no, you will never change. And some says, when I say, no, man, I want to make it better, and they just crack down laughing, and they're not really positive or not supportive. What are some of the risks I take, and how do I overcome them in that journey to become better?
There are certain risks that can bring negativity. For example, loneliness. It can be a risk if people are castigating you. They are saying you can't change. They are saying many words. There might be loneliness, but how best you can fight against loneliness? You need to seek support and from individuals and who align yourself with your values. So they say birds of the same feathers, they flock together. So there are people whom you'd see that, okay, these people, they can be of help to me, and I can align myself to them. Mm. And sometimes you may end up being judgmental. These are some of the things. How you need to fight such things. You need to focus on your growth and rather to be swerved away by other people's opinions. You need to be positive instead of staying in an isolated place or being in an isolation. You need to spend time with yourself, or you need to find other people who can be of help. And also sometimes you need to find time to take read the Bible, pray, and also reflect, exercise. Find time to compliment on your health growth. Also, it can be of help. And sometimes you also need to prioritize relationship that gives your personal growth. Even to let it go, some toxic relations, it can be of better position than to keep on in a toxic place or with people that can be of no value to you. And sometimes you need to surround yourself with colleagues who inspire you or who can be of help to your development. This can be a good opportunity to align yourself with your personal values and other things. So basically, this is what I can safely say.
Yeah. Now, lastly, what if throughout my life, the toxicity is what has shielded me from loneliness, you know, judgment, isolation, losing friends, economic or professional implications, etc. So people would have some toxicity that really would have shielded them from all of these, isolation, losing friends, etc. And the person then, if they are not toxic anymore, then you find that they are now not themselves anymore. Are you saying that it's possible to remain oneself even after changing?
We have that concept of Ubuntu, number one. Number two, we live in an environment whereby we need other people. When there is a change, definitely you need to uphold and accept other people's perspectives and also ideas. And if you have changed, or if the place and the people have changed, you need to embrace, and you sit down, you talk over about it, and it's over. You move on with life. So basically, this is how things work. That's my thinking.
Mm. Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for joining us this day. I do hope that tomorrow you come back and, of course, we continue with the conversation. But for today, I do want to say thank you so much for today.
Thank you. Thank you. Good day.
Good day to you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.